Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're back in the book of Samuel, first book of Samuel. Yeah, we're going to look at chapters 11 and 12 this afternoon. I'll let you guys get there, and then we'll open in prayer. First book of Samuel, our favorite book in the Bible. Whatever book we're in, that's our favorite. Right? For today. That's right. That's it. It used to be Ruth. There used to be Judges. Yeah, that used to be one of our favorites. Yeah, that was our first favorite. That's right. Yeah, 3 years ago. Jeez. Yeah, we're going to be chapter 11. I'll let you guys get there. We'll open in prayer. We'll go through the Word of God. Yeah, so let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you that you'd minister to us as we go through your Word, that you'd speak directly to us, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the timeline, Samuel, he was born approximately 1100 B.C. he lived until approximately 1012 B.C. In that range, he was Israel's first king was appointed approximately 1050 B.C., just to give you guys kind of a time frame where we discussed before when we started this book. In these chapters, we're going to be talking about Saul. King Saul, right? God selected Saul to be the first king of Israel. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. As most of you guys know, we're going to be, of course, talking about Samuel. He was a prophet of God. He was Israel's last significant judge as well. We're also going to go through the word. We're going to be talking about Nahash, okay? He was the leader of the Ammonite army that attacked Jabesh Gilead. And the men of Jabesh Gilead, their city was besieged by the Ammonites. And so let's go through this story and let God speak to us. We're going to pick right up. Just one other thing, actually. Jabesh Gilead was on the east side of the Jordan, okay? Jordan River in the territory of Gad, just in case you want to follow that. We know Saul, he lived in Gibeah. And the armies of Israel gathered at Bezek to march against the Ammonites. So this was on the east side of the Jordan River. So let's pick up in verse 1. It says, then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. And Nahash, the Ammonite, answered them, on this condition, I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes, ouch, and bring reproach on all Israel. Now, that doesn't sound like a good covenant to me, right? Verse 3, then the elders of Jabesh said to him, hold off for 7 days, that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then, if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you. We'll surrender to you. Verse 4. So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. They cried. Verse 5. Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field, and Saul said, what troubles the people that they weep? And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Verse 6. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard the news, and his anger was greatly aroused. Verse 7. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hand of the messenger, saying, whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen. Okay. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people. And they came out with one consent. Verse 8. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers who came, thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow by this time the sun is hot, and you shall have help. Then the messengers came out and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad, I bet. Verse 10, therefore, the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you. So it was on the next day that Saul put the men in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together. So let's stop here for a minute. So Naash, the Ammonite, right? The Ammonites, they're descendants of Lot, right? They're descendants of Lot. He, this man, Nahash, he was the leader of the Ammonites who lived, again, on the east side of the Jordan River. Okay? Jabesh-Gilead was a town east of the Jordan River as well, in the territory of half the tribe of Manasseh. Remember the 2.5 tribes that wanted to live on the east side of the Jordan River? They didn't want to go in and live in the promised land. Unfortunately, they want to live on the outside. This is where all this is happening. The 2.5 tribes, Reuben, right? There's Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. So all this was going on in that area. And Nahash and the Ammonites, they besieged Israel's city of Jabesh-Gilead in the beginning, right? And the people of the city asked for peace with Nahash, agreed to let them live. He said, okay, fine, you want to have peace, but I have one condition, that he could gouge out all their right eyes, right? Humiliate them. That's not a good covenant whatsoever. Gouge out your right eyes. I think at that point I'd fight no matter what, instead of surrendering, saying, yeah, that's okay. All right, so the people of Jabesh, Gilead, asked for 7 days. They said, sounds good. Give us 7 days. We'll see if anybody can come help us. But if we can't, we'll be your servants, and you can gouge out our right eyes. Excuse me. So messengers were sent out, as we read, from Jabesh-Gilead throughout all of Israel to find help. And verse 6 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and he heard the news, and his anger was greatly aroused, right? As in, to fill Saul with divine indignation, wrath, right? And to empower Saul to deliver the people of Jabesh-Gilead, okay? So the Spirit of the Lord filled Saul, okay, with this divine indignation to empower Saul to go ahead and deliver these people, Jabesh-Gilead. It says, when Saul heard the news, the Spirit of God rushed on him, right? It says he took oxen, cut them in pieces, and sent the pieces throughout all of Israel. Right, verse 7 says, so that he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces, and he sent them all throughout the territory of Israel by the hands of the messengers, saying, whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to fight, so it be done to your oxen. In other words, we're going to do this to your animals. All right, Saul divided the oxen in sections to be taken throughout Israel. He did this to rally the group to go and battle those people. All right, so Saul assembled all these people of Israel at Bezek, as it says, right? 330,000 men total. Bezek is about 17 miles from Jabesh-Gilead, just to kind of give you an idea where they're at as far as distance. And they notified the men of Jabesh-Gilead that they were coming to their aid. They said, yeah, we're going to help you. Israel stepped up, got these 330,000 men, and they said, we're going to help you, right? It has been put on Saul, the Spirit of the Lord, to come help. And upon hearing the news, the men of Jabesh sent a message to Nahash, the guy who wanted to gouge out their eyes, right, pretending as if they were going to surrender. So he comes, he said, hey, yeah, okay, we're coming out. We couldn't find anybody. We're going to come be your servants. You can gouge out our eyes. Sounds like a plan. Not a good one, but okay. So a little entrapment there. So let's go ahead. Let's pick up in verse 12 and see what happens. So verse 12 says, then the people said to Samuel, who is he who said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death. Verse 13. But Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. Giving glory to God. That's great. Verse 14. Then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go up to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace offerings, right, which is thanksgiving, giving thanks to the Lord, before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So let's just talk about this. This is a short chapter. All right, so after Saul's victory, some of the loyal men of Saul proposed that, hey, let's punish those men that didn't want you to be king. Right? This is what he's saying in chapter 10, verse 27. But Saul, okay, Saul rejected their proposal, saying, hey, this is a day of celebration, God delivering us. This is a day giving glory to God, right? So be it for us to do this. He said, this isn't a day for retribution against our fellow countrymen, showing mercy to those men who didn't even want him to be king. And then Samuel and the Israelites went to Gilgal, and they made Saul king before the Lord with sacrifices and rejoicing. So they were given these peace offerings, thanksgiving offerings to the Lord, these sacrifices for saving them, which is pretty good. Now, there's a couple key verses in this chapter I want to share with you. Verse 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. This is a key verse because it highlights God's empowerment as the source of Saul's leadership. Okay? It's very important that the Holy Spirit of God came upon Saul, and that was his source of leadership to be able to do this, right? Kind of like us when we go out and we go on the mission field, we go do ministry like you doing down at the Peabody home. The Holy Spirit has to lead you, right? You're going to go share the gospel with somebody. You pray, the Holy Spirit, give me the words, Lord, so I can be able to do this correctly. And this is exactly what happened with Saul. Right. Another key verse, look at verse 13. Look at verse 13, it says, right, but Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. That's amazing, right? This is key because it captures the main theme of this chapter. God is the true deliverer, okay? God is the true deliverer, and this is exactly what Saul was acknowledging. That God is the deliverer. Right? We've accomplished this because of the Lord. He gave us salvation in Israel, right? It also shows Saul at his best, right? Did you notice he was humble, right? He was merciful, and he was God-focused, right? It explains the victory, not military skill alone, but the Lord's salvation. It was the Lord's work. Right? That's what he was saying. And it sets the tone for Saul's early kingship, listen, before his later failures, which we'll eventually see. So Saul was letting the Lord lead him as the king in his early years. And then he got jealous of King David. And that was his downfall. But here in the beginning, we see him being very merciful, very humble, very God-focused. and God was leading them, giving them victory. So the main takeaway of chapter 11, God delivers his people through leaders, listen, who depend on him, right? Act courageously, unite others, and give him the credit. And this is what Saul was doing, right? He was giving God the glory. Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead. We'll pick up in chapter 12. We'll keep on going. So after the battle with the Ammonites, right, the Israelites went to Gilgal to reaffirm Saul as king, as we just read, right? They all went up into Gilgal. Excuse me, Samuel's address to the Israelites in this chapter at Gilgal. So let's go through the Word of God. Let's look at chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "Now Samuel said to all of Israel, 'Indeed, I have heeded your voice and all that you said to me, and have made a king over you.'" Verse 2, "And now here is your king walking before you. And I am old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am." Remember, let's just stop there for a minute. You remember Samuel, right? What did he say when he first came, when God called upon him? "Here I am." He thought it, right? He thought it was Eli, right? Here we see, he's saying, he's telling, now he's old. And he's using those three same words. He says, "Here I am. Just like I told the Lord." It says in verse 3, "Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed." He's telling him, "I was anointed by the Lord." "Whose ox," and then he tells him this, "whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." Right? He's telling you, "You guys have seen me. I've been with you. Look at my works and do as I do." Right? Verse 4, "You cannot cheat." He said, verse 4, "And they said, 'You have not cheated us or oppressed us, Samuel, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand.'" Verse 5, "Then Samuel said to them, 'The Lord is my witness against you.'" Oh, what do we got going on here? Okay. "And his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand.' And they answered, 'He is witness.' Then Samuel said to the people, 'It is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers, your family.'" Verse 8, "When Jacob had gone into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place." Verse 9, "And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them." Verse 10, "Then they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you.'" Verse 11, "And the Lord sent Zerubbabel, Bedan, and Japheth, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety." Let's stop here for a minute. Let's talk about this. So Samuel addresses the people while they were gathered to celebrate Saul as king. He reminded them how he had been a prophet, anointed by God. "God called upon me," right, as to be a judge and a prophet for the people. And then he asked everybody among them, he said, "Have I ever done you wrong?" And he lists out those things that he said, and he said, "Learn from me, do as I do, right? And all the people confirmed that Samuel had never oppressed them, he never defrauded them, he never stole from them, he never took a bribe, right? Samuel had been appointed by God. He wants them to know that. I was appointed by God, and he had not abused his office, his position, right? Samuel had been faithful to the people in his care, as had God been to the people. And Samuel reminded the people of God's faithfulness to them when things weren't good, right? That's important, right? When we go through some rough times in our life and we're going through some trials and tribulations, Samuel and to us, God speaking to us direct, don't forget God was faithful while you were going through that time. He was still with you. He was carrying you when you were frustrated, you were broken. He says, don't you forget about how faithful God still was to you, even when we weren't faithful, right? And that God saved them, he said, he went right through it, right? He said, God saved them out of Egypt, gave them the land of Canaan, which we read through, and sent them judges to care for the nation, right? And the only time the Israelites suffered was when they started what? Forsaking the Lord. They suffered, as Samuel told them. Though Samuel reminded him, hey, you know those times you guys were suffering? Those were the times you forsook the Lord. You ignored the Lord and suffering came. He lets them know because of ignoring God's commands and worshiping false gods. He added that in there. Even after extended periods of disobedience, God was always willing to forgive his people, right? And send them judges to save them from their enemies, Samuel's telling them. Even when you forsook God, when you came and repented, God took care of you. And he sent a judge, when we went through the book of Judges, he sent a judge to watch over you. All right, so let's go ahead. We're going to pick up in verse 12. Let's go over verse 12. It says right here, verse 12, and it says, and when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, back in chapter 11, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Remember, Samuel wasn't okay with this. They were asking for a king. He said, God's our king. We don't need a man to deliver us. God will deliver us. So Samuel wasn't on board with any of this. But he said, I'm going to give you what you said. I took it to the Lord. He said, fine, give him a man. So he says right here, right? He says, no, but a king shall reign over us. He says, when the Lord your God was your king. Verse 13. Now therefore, now that you know this, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, Samuel tells him, the Lord has set a king over you. Look at verse 14 and 15. These are conditional verses. I brought this up on Sunday. These are conditional verses when you see if, right? Look at verse 14. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. Okay? Look at this, verse 15. However, conditional verse. In other words, if you don't do this, okay? However, verse 15, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you. That's not good. Then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers, your family. You know, your family who rebelled in the wilderness for 40 years. God had them going in circles. Said, you're never going to come into the promised land. Yeah, he said, don't be like them. They forsook the Lord. He says, you obey the Lord. You serve the Lord, right? Verse 16, he says it again. Now therefore, which we know, right? When you see therefore, that's the applications coming next. That means now that you know this, like you've been warned, right? It's kind of like telling someone, sharing the gospel, and telling them, listen, if you don't come to the Lord, here's the consequences. You've been warned in a loving way. You know, you've been warned. You've been in the gospel. Repent, believe in Jesus Christ, right? So Samuel says again, he says, now therefore, now that you know this, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. He's going to call upon God to do a miracle. Say, you guys think I'm messing around here? Watch this. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 17. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. Sounds like Samuel's still not feeling too warm and fuzzy about the king, right? He's giving it to him, right? He says, I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to send down some thunder and rain. You watch in 1 minute. And he says, oh, see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord. Why? Right here. And ask him for a king for yourself, knowing that God is our king. Verse 18. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. They're like, whoa, this Samuel's not messing around. He said thunder and rain's coming, and it's pouring out. Pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. They're asking Samuel now, right? The people said to Samuel, pray, Samuel, for us that we won't die, for we have added to all our sins the evil for asking a king for ourselves. Verse 20. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. We see that a lot in the scriptures, huh? Those three words over and over. Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet look at the rest of this verse. This is a good part for you to highlight in your Bible and read often, the rest of this verse. Right here, look at this. Verse 20, the second half of verse 20. Great verse to highlight and read often. Look at this. Samuel tells him, gives him great advice. Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen? Serve the Lord. He said, don't turn aside. He said, do not fear. Don't turn aside. Serve the Lord. Obey him with all your heart. Verse 21. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. Verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people. Why? Right here. For his great name's sake. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Verse 23. Moreover, as for me, Samuel said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Well, isn't that great? Here's Samuel. Let's stop here for a minute. Here's Samuel. He's obviously very upset still over this whole thing about them asking for a king. He said, God's our king. He's our leader. He's fighting our battles. And you guys want a man to do it? So he from the beginning, Samuel didn't like this idea. He said, fine, I'll go to the Lord. I'll pray. I'll see what he came back. And God said, you know what? If they want it, we're going to give them what they want. Right? This is one of those times, be careful what you wish for. Right? Right? So Samuel said, you know, maybe the Lord said that to Samuel. Just tell him, careful what they wish for. Let them have it. Right? Right? You know what that reminds me of? Someone that professes to be a Christian but lives in sin. Right? Fine. Is that what they want to do? Let them have it and see what happens, the consequences. Right here. Look at Samuel. But this is my part. Samuel, even though Samuel's mad, because you can just tell through the scripture, he's upset. Look at how merciful Samuel is. He says, even though I'm mad, I'm going to pray for you. Right? Even though, oh, you're wicked. He said they're wicked. He said, you are a wretch. You're a wicked. Maybe not wretch. I put that in there. But he said, you're wicked. They probably were. But he says, but I'm going to pray for you. It's one thing praying for people that you love and you care for. It's another thing praying for your enemies. That's what we're called to do. All right? That's right. You got to do it. Yeah. I just love that Samuel does that. He's so mad at these people. He's called wicked. And he tells them, but I'm going to pray for you. That's the type of friends you want to have. They're going to pray for you no matter what you're going through. Even when you pee them off. Right? Yeah. That is, you know, that those words right there are the best word you could say. When someone's refusing the gospel, they're rejecting, you know, the gospel. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We've all been in there at that, right? We're trying to share the gospel, the good news of salvation. And then they say, hey, listen, I'm not interested at all. Go find somebody else. The best thing you can say is say, okay, I'm going to pray for you, though. Man. Well, if anything, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. They knock you over, then, yeah, you better take off. But the thing is, you know, that if anybody has even if they have a little bit of a heart inside there, even that saying, I'm going to pray for you, it's going to weigh on their heart. Even if they're not a believer or not interested, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. That's what I told those two Jehovah Witnesses that came to my door over a month and a half ago. Before I said to them, I said, listen, I told you right now, you have a Jesus who cannot save you, just so you know. Okay? And the two of you, and I say it in a loving way, you stand dead right here in your sins until you come to the knowledge of truth that they don't believe in the Trinity, they told me. I said, you seem like wonderful women, but you are blinded by a false religion. And you need to come to the truth. And I told them, my mom was there. She was over having a coffee. They came to the door. I never even told them it was a pastor, nothing. But I quoted about 24 verses. They figured there's something going on with this guy. I don't know what it is, but he's spitting out verses proving that Jesus is God. And I went all the way back to the beginning. And they're telling me, well, there's only one God. And I said, you are correct. In three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I said, let's go back to the very beginning when God said, let us make man in our image. Was God talking to himself? I don't think so, because we'd be saying God's crazy. He's let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But anyway, not to prolong this, but they tried to get away four times from me. But I kept them there as long as I could. Just tried to show them. But these people are so, and they've been Jehovah's Witness for 40 years. They've got it in their head that you ain't changing my mind. But I told them I would pray for them. And I prayed for them for several days. And I prayed that God would make a revelation to them to come to the truth so they wouldn't die in their sins. And I saw one lady, one of them started to think, I think what this guy is saying, we might need to check into. But her other friend kept saying, we got to go. We got to go. We don't believe in the Trinity. We got people in the car. God, mom is my witness. They tried to leave four times. Finally, I said, fine, I'm going to pray for you. And I prayed for him. That's the best thing you can do, is say, I'm going to pray for you that you come to the truth. So right here, Samuel, right, he says, I'm going to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Look at verse 24, another great verse for you to highlight and read often. Right here, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Look at this. For consider what great things he has done for you. Amen? What a verse. Verse 24. For consider what great things he's done for you. Saved you and walking with you. And look at verse 25. Here's another conditional verse Samuel gives them. Samuel tells them, but if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Wow. strong words from Samuel, huh? Warnings after warnings. Have you guys noticed as we go through the Old Testament especially that these prophets, God sent them out to warnings, the people all the time, right? You read warnings after warnings after warnings of the consequences of not coming to Christ. That's all these prophets did. That's why all the people wanted to kill them. They wanted to kill them. The prophets, you know what the prophets were always telling the people? Repent! Or doom is coming. That's why they were always, the people were always after them. That's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear a watered-down gospel. Oh, we're God's people. We're all going to heaven. No, that's not what the Bible says. Right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible is full of warnings, especially Old Testament. God told these prophets over and over, go tell the people to repent, to turn back to me with all their heart, or doom is coming. Over and over. God permitted them to appoint a king, but he wasn't happy with their betrayal and their misplacement of trust. Right, they were going to trust in a man over God. That's the downfall of a lot of people, you know. Trusting in a man or a woman over God. Trying to get advice from another man or woman instead of going to God first. Now, it's good to go to your family and friends and your loved ones and your spouse. That's all great. And I do believe that most of those people that care for you want to give you good, solid advice. But they don't always do that. And it can put us in a bad situation. What does Jesus say in 6, right? Matthew 6:33. What's he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And those things shall be added to you. Man, if you make a decision in your life without going to God first, a good chance it's not going to work out, right? So as a sign of God's displeasure, right, God sent a storm and thunder and rain of Israel, right, which struck fear in the hearts of the people. Man, that's a pretty good sign right there. And they acknowledged their sin and by asking for a man to be their king instead of God. And Samuel prayed for him, though. Yeah, pretty good. So the other thing is Samuel reassured them that although God wasn't happy, listen, this is important for you to know, too. Samuel let them know, although God wasn't happy with them, he would never abandon them. You're a child of God. Even when God isn't happy on the things you do, God's never going to abandon you. Don't let anyone ever tell you different. You're a child of God. He didn't save you to give you up. This is exactly what Samuel said, right? Said right here, verse 22, right in this chapter, for the Lord, right, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. He saved you for his glory. He's not going to give you up. Because it pleased the Lord to make you his people. Right? If they would serve the Lord and keep his commandments, God would bless them and bless the king. Right? But if you want to turn away from the God, then the king would not save them and ruin would come. There go the blessings. So just real quick here before we wrap it up, there's some key verses I want to share with you before we close here. Some key verses. Verse 7, if you got your Bible still open on chapter 12, I just want to share a few key verses and why they're key verses. Go to verse 7. Right? Verse 7 says, now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and your fathers. Why is this key? Why is this a key verse? Samuel reminds Israel, and he's reminding us in the Word of God, that God has always been faithful. even when Israel wasn't faithful, he was still faithful. Even when we're not faithful at times, he's still faithful. This is amazing, right? Verse 12, another key verse. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God is your king. Why is this key? This verse explains Israel wanted a king. Why? Because of fear. They didn't trust. They took the point of fear rather than trust. Okay? Awful thing to do, right? Instead of trusting God, they took the route of fear. Verse 14, here's another verse, key verse in this chapter. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey him in his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue to follow the Lord your God. Why is this key? It states the condition for blessing is obedience to the Lord for both the people and the king. Okay? This states that obedience, okay? Obedience will produce the blessings. Being obedient, serving the Lord to get blessings. And look at verse 16. We'll go right through there. We've got four more I'll share with you. Verse 16, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Why is that key? God used a sign to show his power and confirm Samuel's message. That is huge. He backed up exactly what Samuel was saying, and Samuel trusted in him that he would do it. Trusted in God, and he did it. Verse 20, then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve him, serve the Lord with all your heart, not half your heart, all your heart. Why is this key? This verse balances warning and grace. Failure, again, does not mean abandonment. Okay? So when we fail God, he's not going to abandon us still. You fall on your face. I'll give you an example of this. You go share the gospel with somebody. Frank, you go down there to Peabody Home, you're sharing the gospel. You mess it all up. Right? You mess it all up. That's not what the scripture says. God's not going to abandon you. He's not going to abandon you over it. But what he does want you to have is discernment to get back in the scripture and know how to explain it better. Right? And listen, you ain't even going to explain it better if you don't ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. If you want to mess up the gospel, don't pray. Go down there and don't pray before you go. Oh, you'll mess it all up. We're good at that. But if you want the words to come out right, say, God, give me the words. Right? Give me the words, Lord, so I don't screw this up. Verse 22, look at this. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great namesake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Another key verse, right? Highlights God's faithfulness and covenant love. Right? Even after Israel's mistakes, God reaffirms, you're my people, I love you, I'm faithful, right? Just like I told him before, do not fear. And the last one, verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him as in obedience, right? Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he's done for you, right? This is the main call for this chapter, faithful worship in response to God's goodness, right? Faithful worship in response to God's goodness. Right? Here's the main takeaway of this chapter. God remains faithful to his people, but blessings depend on, listen, fearing him. There's a healthy fear, right? Obeying him and serving him wholeheartedly. Samuel said two or three times in these chapters, with all your heart, not half. And this ends chapter 11 and 12. Why don't we go ahead? We'll close in prayer. Close in prayer and maybe have a little discussion, and we'll do a little Bible trivia. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we end these two chapters, chapters 11 and 12, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to us this afternoon in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for opening our hearts and our minds on what it means to be faithful, to be obedient to you, Lord, with all our heart, Lord, that we would serve you with all our heart, Lord. Oh, Lord, please continue to speak to us as we go through your word each and every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.